You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The calendar is getting ready to turn to June, which makes the possibility of a Julio Jones trade that much more feasible from a cap perspective. So while Jones is one of the Falcons' best players in franchise history, a trade is feeling more eventual by the day. Jones recently told Shannon Sharp on Undisputed, quote, "I'm out of here." The latest indication, he'll be on the move. The question most teams are likely asking with trading for Julio Jones is, how much can we get out of a 32-year-old wide receiver? Well, if recent history has shown us anything, there have been only six players to record a 1,000-yard receiving season after turning the age 32 over the past 10 seasons. As we say hello to our NFL Live crew on this Friday, we've got Mina Kimes, we've got Ryan Clark and Jeff Darlington. I am Field Yates. Mina, it's been the story of the week, and it continues to dominate the headlines. What are teams realistically getting from a 32-year-old Julio Jones?
Phil, they're getting one of the best wide receivers in the NFL right now. I'm kind of confused why people are talking about Julio Jones like he's Julio Iglesias. He is still dominant, and I saw that stat about wide receivers declining as they get older. But while that might be true, if you're trading for Julio Jones, you're not trading for years and years of production. You're trading because you want to win a Super Bowl in the present tense. And in the present tense, if Julio Jones is healthy, when he was healthy last year, when he did play, he was still dominant. He still had all of the qualities that have made him one of the best wide receivers in the NFL ever. The speed, the separation, the route running, the ability to beat press, the hands. He is amazing. And again, it really depends on the destination, because I think it makes more sense for some teams than others. But if you want to win, you want Julio Jones.
Hey, listen, I don't know much about Julio Iglesias. I know about Enrique Iglesias, but I do know about Julio, who lived next to Fred Sanford and Lamont. And that Julio could fix anything. And that's what you're looking for if you get Julio Jones, right? You want somebody that could come in and win now. Julio Jones isn't a building block for the future. So what you have to truly look at is, okay, are we one great wide receiver away from contending right now? You don't make this move to be in the middle of the pack. You don't make this move to help a young quarterback on a struggling team. If you go get Julio Jones, it's because you believe having him on your team puts you playing in the championship in Los Angeles in the second Sunday or the first Sunday of February.
Yeah, Ryan, I think these, Mina and Ryan, these are both great points. And really, when we look at this situation, like, even the Falcons understand Julio Jones is worth a lot. Maybe not the $23 million cap hit that they're up against this season. Clearly not, because they are ready to unload him. But they do recognize his talent, hence the reason they're trying to get as much value as they can. And that value continues to increase. We do have multiple teams that are interested in acquiring him. Certainly, though, when I talk to people around the league, there is concern, whether it's enough concern to merit maybe not giving up a first-round pick, instead maybe giving up a second, for a guy who has missed a lot of practice this last season, for instance, dealing with a hamstring injury. He's had some foot issues in the past. So, like, it's not that anybody doesn't recognize that he is clearly still dominant. He is. And he can absolutely be not only a major contributor for a Super Bowl winning team, but an absolute star. The bigger question here, of course, is, are you willing to give up, say, a first round pick for a guy that does come with some question and, of course, also comes with a massive paycheck behind his name?
So, Mina, factoring in his salary and the likely draft compensation going to Atlanta, he's not a fit for all of the 31 teams, but who might be on your short list of teams that are potentially a Julio Jones trade away from being a real Super Bowl contender?
Well, as far as the salary goes, Field, this year it's $15 million for the team that acquires, but after that, it's actually pretty affordable, $11 million, assuming he doesn't want an extension. Teams, I would throw out the Ravens. I know that they drafted a couple of wide receivers and added Sammy Watkins, but heaven knows they could use another one. That's a very good roster. And then going to the NFC, the Packers, anyone? I like, if you want to get Aaron Rodgers to come back, here's one way to sell it to him. And I'm just imagine, and look at this depth chart. Imagine Julio Jones and Davante Adams on the field at the same time. That is a terrifying proposition.
Yeah, nobody wants to deal with that, and that would be exciting to me. This would also be something that would at least make Aaron Rodgers look at his fiance and say, you know what, maybe we need to leave Hawaii, and I might do some core if we're going to take some more pictures of me in my swimsuit. If you have Julio Jones, you have Davante Adams, obviously the run game with Aaron Jones in the backfield and improving defensively, this is a team who... I guess if you look at it, of the teams that have contended, of the teams that need to add a weapon, not necessarily just so they could score because they were good on offense, just to make their quarterback feel good, just to make the fans feel like, you know what, we are actually trying to do something special. Go get Julio Jones, make it happen, fly out to Hawaii. It'll be a great vacation anyway, and now you can be on Miles Teller Twitter feed along with Phil Yates, because I think Phil is his homeboy in a fantasy league.
Phil, you gotta tell us more about that, the fact that you're in a fantasy league with him. We're calling you out right now on that. But hey, by the way, when we do talk about Aaron Rodgers, would the ultimate irony be that Aaron Rodgers gets traded and then the Packers acquire Julio Jones and make it exactly the way that they should have made it before they had to go through this drama with Aaron Rodgers? And by the way, it's not that unrealistic to think about, because Aaron just told Kenny Mayne that, look, it's about culture. It's about treating people a certain way. It's all those things. You would think acquiring Julio Jones might fix some of that, but this is a guy in Aaron Rodgers who certainly knows how to put his feet in the ground when he has conviction about something. So I'm not so sure that that is even enough, which I understand sounds pretty wild.
So you guys kind of blew up my spot. The difference between Miles and I is I get paid to talk about fantasy football. Miles just beats me, despite the fact that he does not get paid to do it for a living. But that's neither here nor there.
Your ability to play fantasy football.
Miles, Jeff, be careful now. Miles is excellent on Twitter, and he got everybody wondering what he meant with this recent tweet, writing, quote, cheers to signing with the Packers. It at least got a laugh out of Packers All-Pro left tackle David Bakhtiari, who literally responded with a couple of crying slash laughing emojis. All right, taking a step back from Twitter, Mina, where you are the Twitter queen, I might mention. Who has a better situation, Aaron Rodgers or the Green Bay Packers?
Well, it depends on whether Aaron Rodgers is actually willing to sit out a season, because ultimately that is the leverage that any player has in a holdout, and it's why it happens so rarely, because so few players are actually willing to do it. We don't know what the answer is with Rodgers. You know, it's a little bit different with him versus some other players, insofar as he already has this incredible career, he's already made enough money for multiple lifetimes. It comes down to whether or not he wants to play. For Green Bay, you know, he is still under contract for several years, and they do have a quarterback. Obviously, they want him to come back. That's how they compete for a Super Bowl now. But if Aaron Rodgers is actually willing to sit out, there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. Like, the Packers definitely hold the leverage in terms of the contract that is hovering over Aaron Rodgers' head. He would owe a huge amount of money back to the Packers if he did sit out and threaten retirement. Now, that being said, like, from a business perspective, absolutely the Packers hold the leverage. They still have to ask themselves, what is a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers worth on the bench to us when we could trade him and get massive compensation in return to build our team without him? Obviously, they're better with him on the field, but if they do have to come to that point, that's the only shift in leverage, is when the Packers have to sit there and say, okay, we do believe Aaron Rodgers is not going to play for us. Now we have to find a way to get at least something out of this. So Packers definitely hold the leverage. Aaron Rodgers with the ability, with a real chance to sit out, to shift that leverage in his favor.
Well, we know this story is not going anywhere until there's resolution one way or the other. But RC, the Packers did draft Jordan Love for a reason last year. What are the expectations for this team if, and this is a big if, they have to play without Aaron Rodgers?
Guys, what would Hazel Grace be without Augustus Waters and Fulton Al Stars? It's the same exact thing. You look at the Green Bay Packers, you are taking away an MVP. What would the Kansas City Chiefs be without Patrick Mahomes?
The
Tampa Bay Buccaneers without Tom Brady? Think about all of these things, right? So, And it's not like you get to trade him and get something for him if Aaron Rodgers decides to not play. This is Aaron Rodgers getting injured in training camp. This is losing him in the first week. And now your backup is thrust into the role of starting. That ain't the plan. What you want to do. And so when you lose a player of that caliber, to me, this falls to a 500 team. And this is a 500 team if Jordan Love is actually a good first-year starter, which we don't know, and the Packers don't even know because the wide receivers won't go work with him until Aaron Rodgers comes from Hawaii playing with Jungle Cats.
So, RC, I usually agree with you, but there's something you said there, which is that if Jordan Love is good, they're a 500 team. I think it's there to quote another Shailene Woodley movie, our opinions are divergent, because the thing about Packers is they actually have a tremendous roster. A great offensive line, best wide receiver in football, in my opinion, Davante Adams. Aaron Jones, a very good play caller in Matt LaFleur. I think it's a great situation for a rookie quarterback to walk into. It actually reminds me of the Niners in some way with Trey Lance, and that's no coincidence because Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur have similar systems. Again, I don't know what Jordan Love brings to the table, but if he's actually good, this is a good football team.
And I was going to use this handy rap note that I've got right here, but I just am trying to think of a way to bring about another The Fault in Our Stars reference to the show. And RC, you set the bar very high, and of course, Mina can match it. I can't, so I'm just going to move on to what I'm supposed to actually be talking about, which I think is football related. Thank you, Jeff. You're my guy. That much is for sure.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You know, it's hard to win consistently in the NFL, despite what the Patriots have shown us over the past 20 years. The last team to win a Super Bowl in back-to-back seasons was the aforementioned Patriots all the way back in 2003 and 2004. But Bills All-Pro wide receiver Stephon Diggs is thinking big entering year two in Buffalo, telling DC Magazine, quote, "I haven't reached the mountaintop yet. I always aim high. I want 5 Super Bowl rings." All right, so Ryan, will Diggs be able to back up the talk that he has here?
Well, he's talking about his wants. I want to be Phil Yates, but that doesn't mean I'm
aim
ever
higher.
Going to be able to accomplish it.
Aim higher.
You know, I would love to be able to etch a sketch like Mina Kimes. That doesn't mean I have the dexterity. Or it would be nice that every time we had a Zoom meeting, there were palm trees in my backyard, but I don't live in Florida like Jeff Darlington. And so for me, I can say what I want to do, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. But one thing that Stephon Diggs can do, he can back up those type of wants, those type of goals with the type of play we saw last year in his first year in Buffalo. And listen, he's playing in a place that didn't necessarily go to 5 Super Bowls, but they went to 4. So they had that opportunity. The problem is this. The New England Patriots, Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick have messed it up for all of us. We think that that jump just happened, that you could just win 5 or 6 championships. That's not the way real life works. There's a reason that he's the GOAT, Tom Brady. There's a reason that the organization, the New England Patriots, is the best in the last 20 years or maybe ever in sports. Because what they have done is the anomaly. It's not the norm. It's the outlier. And so if Stephon Diggs wants to get to 5, he better start winning right now.
Yeah, Ryan, the Bills are absolutely built to win. They have done everything right. But kind of like Phil Mickelson in the Tiger Woods era, like sometimes you're just up against something bigger than you. And that's the problem here. Is Patrick Mahomes going to be the next true dynasty? And if that's the case, Stephon Diggs, while being an ultra-talented guy and an ultra-talented team, might have situations that keep him from getting there. So to me, it's not a matter of whether Stephon Diggs, I love hearing his aspirations. I think it's great. It's something to aspire to. That said, it's going to be very tricky for him to get that kind of success, really even half of that success, let's say, in a conference where Patrick Mahomes has the potential to run the show for a decade.
Yeah, so, Mina, before you can get to 5, you got to get to 1. And do you think the Bills this year are a team that is equipped to maybe challenge the Kansas City Chiefs, who right now on paper look to be the presumptive favorites?
I do. I think the Bills are absolutely Super Bowl contenders. I still think Kansas City is a favorite. I probably will as long as Patrick Mahomes walks this earth, quite frankly. But the Bills are built to win now. They obviously have the benefit of Josh Allen still being on his rookie contract. And there's reason to believe they're not going to regress next year. Look, is Josh Allen still going to play like an MVP? Probably not, because most quarterbacks don't repeat that kind of performance year to year, but he's obviously going to be very good. The offense retained all of the key players, notably their offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll. But what I think is most important for Buffalo is the defense, because people forget this defense was not good for much of the season last year. It took them a long time to round into form, especially the run defense and that front seven. They have a very good secondary. What do they do in the draft? They got two pass rushers, Greg Rousseau and Boogie Basham. If one of them hits, I think that front seven will improve. And that really is all it takes, because this is a roster that from top to bottom is, along with, I'd say, Cleveland, the best in the AFC.
Well, Mina, to your point about Josh Allen improving from last year, even maintaining it, no quarterback saw a larger increase in QBR from 2019 to 2020. So to do it again, that would be very, very impressive for the already impressive Josh Allen.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We continue our series of Adam Schefter's 10 biggest questions this offseason with question number 6. Today's topic, the return of two promising young quarterbacks.
How will Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow return from injury? Two of the most sobering injuries of the 2020 season came to two of the youngest stars in the game.
I didn't like the way he fell. He's holding his right leg.
It just sucks to lose Dak, our leader.
Dak Prescott suffered a compound fracture and dislocation of his right ankle that was hard to watch.
Play, Joe Burrow is down, and he was in serious pain at the end of that play.
Joe Burrow tore his ACL and MCL on a play that was equally difficult to watch and resulted in reconstructive knee surgery. But now both quarterbacks are progressing well in their respective rehabs and on track to be ready for their team's regular season openers. Dallas at Tampa Bay on September 9th, and the Bengals hosting the Vikings on September 12th. And if Prescott is back, as expected, and Burrow is back, as expected, then the Cowboys and Bengals both will be back in position to contend for a spot in the postseason.
All right, we'll start here with you, Jeff. Both quarterbacks have said they're on track to be ready for week one. Is that what you're hearing?
So I lost IFB, Field. So go ahead and go to Mina.
Mina, we're going to talk about Dak Prescott and also Joe Burrow in terms of the health in just a minute when Jeff gets his IFB back up. Let's talk about Dak on the field as well for right now. Have the Cowboys done enough to help Dak, which sounds like sort of an odd question to ask given how many points they were scoring when he played last year, but have they?
Yeah. Well, you know, Phil, it's an odd question with an odd answer, because normally when we talk about teams helping their quarterbacks, we talk about the offense. Did they get skill players? Did they bolster the offensive line? Dallas didn't do any of that because they didn't have to. They already have a stacked offense. Mm-hmm. Their offensive line is a little bit thin behind the starters, but aside from that, Dak didn't need more wide receivers or, you know, tight ends. I actually think their tight ends are really underrated. What he needed was a competent defense, and that's why Dallas spent their first 6 draft picks on the defense, bolstering the pass rush. Obviously, they spent their first pick on Micah Parsons there. I still have questions about this unit, in particular the secondary. I think a lot of it is going to come down to whether Dan Quinn, their new defensive coordinator, can fix some of the issues schematically we saw last season. But to me, that's the key for Dak Prescott, not putting him in bad field position, not forcing him to play from behind, complementary football.
Mina is exactly right. I know so often we look at helping quarterbacks by let's get them all this weapons. Well, what weapons do you want to get Dak Prescott? Do you know how Jerry Jones actually helped Dak Prescott? He fought himself. He wasn't on his yacht thinking to himself, I need to jump up and get Kyle Pitts because I want to score more points. He went defense. He got the best defensive player in the draft in Micah Parsons. He also replaced Mike Nolan as the defensive coordinator with Dan Quinn, with superstar young secondary coach Joe Witt. Now you add Kelvin Joseph to the outside, Keanu Neal, KZ in the back end. And so now you have these veteran players to mix with some of these new young guys and edge rushers who get to play the way that they're supposed to and be exactly yes. what we thought they would last year. I think this defense is much improved. And if Dak Prescott comes back in the way that we expect him to, in the way that he told me yesterday on a Zoom call with the NFLPA, if he's ready and if he's firing on all cylinders, this offense will be great. And if the defense can come in and do their part, this could be a team that wins the NFC East.
Of course, a big part of the Cowboys is the health of Dak Prescott. We believe that we have Jeff Darlington back. So, Jeff, both quarterbacks, Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow, have said they're on track for week one. Is that what you are also hearing yourself?
It is. By the way, Field, it's very awkward to know someone is talking to you on live TV and not be able to hear them. So, sorry about that. Dak Prescott, though, much better off than me. He is full go. He is ready to roll. He has made that very clear. A severe ankle issue injury that he sustained last year. But he really, truly believes that he is as close to 100% as he can expect to be. Now, he is already participating in OTAs with the Cowboys, does anticipate full go by training camp. So, it's been a pretty incredible offseason for Dak Prescott. But he believes that he will be the guy that he deserves, the guy that got paid, he thinks he can live up to those expectations, yeah. certainly through the health.
He certainly did get paid, that much is for sure. Let's go to the other quarterback we've been discussing here, Ryan. I'll start with you on Joe Burrow. Did the Bengals do enough for Burrow this offseason?
No, and I know it's going to sound crazy because we've now reunited two Tigers in Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and now they're just in some different stripes of some other type of jungle cat in the Bengal, but it's not what we wanted, right? It's not what we needed. When the last picture you have of your superstar young quarterback is him getting carted off the field at FedEx Stadium, that's not what you want to see. So conventional minds and minds that think long-term say, let's protect him. At number five in this draft was Penei Sewell. Obviously the best offensive lineman in the draft, a tackle that you plug and plays the day he walks into your building and you pass on him. And don't get me wrong, I think Ja'Marr Chase is a star. I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be a guy who is highly productive. But if all you can do is run short routes, if all you can do is try to play pitch and catch and get yards at the catch, you're in trouble. I wish they would have protected Joe Burrow instead of looking to get him another weapon when you were able to get T. Higgins in the second round. Obviously Tyler Boyd, who's now your number one, was also a second-round draft pick.
Yeah, it's going to be the draft pick that could define two franchises going forward. That, of course, being Ja'Marr Chase and Penei Sewell going 5-7, respectively. Time now for some quick reads involving non-quarterbacks who are also returning from injuries this year and a look at their potential impact. Mina, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so you asked about the Bills contending and what they need. Cleveland simply needs Odell Beckham Jr. to be Odell Beckham Jr., and that goes beyond health for him. There's been a lot of talk about the chemistry between him and Baker Mayfield. They've been on and off the field together. That's what I want to see early on in this Brown season. Does OBJ look like himself? And what does he look like with Baker?
RC, I think we may have lost Jeff one more
yeah,
time. Look, so now to you.
And you look at, listen, Jay. Yeah, listen, you're looking at Nick Bosa. I'm looking for the guy to come out swinging the flag and hollering, Baker, y'all remember that? This dude was an absolute monster as a rookie. He was the linchpin of that front line of the San Francisco 49ers and could have been the Super Bowl MVP if Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw a seven route off of his back foot. I want to see what type of impact he has early and does his individual impact the team in the way it did his rookie season.
Look, Saquon Barkley last year, maybe the only thing that came good from him last year was the fact that his injury happened so early in week two, because he does feel like he is able to get over the hump of this knee injury and be back ready to start for this season. He's a young guy, believes that youth will be on his side when it comes to recovery from this injury, and thinks that he can have the best season yet, one that we saw from him, certainly his rookie year with the Giants.
Yeah, he was spectacular as a rookie. The Giants could use that after a strong finish to last year.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, time now for some rookie quarterback rapid fire. The biggest storylines coming out of OTAs, and you may have heard the Patriots have options at quarterback entering the 2021 season, as the team re-signed Cam Newton to a one-year incentive-laden deal to return to Foxborough before eventually drafting Mac Jones out of Alabama 15th overall. The team may not necessarily need Jones right away if Newton has a strong training camp, but it hasn't taken long for the record-setting Alabama quarterback to make a strong early mark.
Mike's doing a great job. I mean, he's, obviously new. I'm new. So, I mean, we're just all going through it together. I mean, him being even new to the whole atmosphere at this next level.
He has the swag to him that I didn't know that he had at first. You know, he's out there. He's out there confident, and that's what you need in a quarterback.
You know, Cam's been here at the beginning and has been a consistent participant, you know, continues to give us the usual leadership and energy that he brings. Cam's very professional, and I'm sure that he'll, you know, continue to work hard to do his best out there like he's always done for us.
Jeff, what's the latest you're hearing about the Patriots' plans at quarterback?
Well, they're making it very clear that Cam Newton is their starter, to the point where they're just saying Cam Newton is the guy. He's the guy week one. Now, keep in mind, I go back to 2000, as far back as when Tom Brady was the rookie for the Patriots. He was the fourth string quarterback. The Patriots recently signed Brian Hoyer, meaning that Mac Jones is now the fourth string quarterback. It is almost as if the Patriots recognize they can insulate Mac Jones by adding just more quarterbacks in front of him. No doubt, though, they want to be very clear at this point, it's Cam Newton. Of course, that could change.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll say this. If Mac Jones is described as having swag while wearing the number 50, give him the starting job, because that is an accomplishment in and of itself. With Mac in particular, like, I'm not surprised he looks good in camp. The dude is accurate. We saw that in college. I think the Patriots need to see him under pressure in game action to get a sense of whether or not he can transition to the NFL, because that's the question about him. Under pressure, second reaction ability, can that translate?
Listen, Rob Ninkovich, I mean, Mac Jones has looked great in that number 50 at practice. And when you get a guy like Mac, though, and he's only doing 7-on-7s, and he's getting an opportunity to be in the classroom after coming from a Nick Saban-type system or type university, everybody from there has a step up or a level up mentally, obviously, except for Tua Tagovailoa. And so I expect Mac Jones to be playing well. Now we'll see what happens when he gets in the real game and he's not protected by the Alabama offensive line and not throwing the football to five first rounders on the outside.
We'll see. In New England, we know it's just a matter of time before Justin Fields becomes the Bears starting quarterback as we switch gears to the number 11 overall pick. But former Bears quarterback Jay Cutler says there should not be a rush to make Fields the man just yet.
I would play the kid to start. Like, okay. That's what I would. That's where I would start. I would let him watch. And, you know, I think it's just a tough spot to put, you know, someone out there, especially in Chicago. And, you know, I think Andy is more than serviceable. I think they can win games with Andy and kind of float the ship along until the kid's ready.
Jeff, back to you. How much can the Bears learn this summer about their quarterback situation?
Well, it's not going to be until training camp that they can really learn. And keep in mind that maybe second only to last year, we are in a situation where teams are learning as little as they ever have about their rookie classes and really their veterans in general. Yes, we have OTAs this year, but with fewer veterans at these camps than we've ever had before, you're now still putting rookies essentially up against other rookies and inexperienced players. So not until do we get the full squad situation are we really going to know enough about Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, any of these guys to have a full understanding of where they stand in the competition and the depth chart.
Yeah, well, we do know Andy Dalton is, as Jay said, more than serviceable, which is what every quarterback wants to hear as a description. I think the Bears are a really interesting team because there's some competing incentives. On one hand, you want to win, of course, especially if you're Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, who you got to think their jobs are on the line. On the other hand, that is a team with not as many weapons as some of the other teams, the rookie quarterbacks, bit of some issues on the offensive line, and they're playing the Rams week one, one of the best defenses in the NFL. So I think they have to balance both of those competing interests to make the best decision for Justin Fields.
I think it's going to be extremely hard because you know what, this is survival of the fittest. And if you're Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, the reason you moved up was because you saw a guy with this level of talent fall to you at number 11. And so I think that Justin Fields plays sooner than later because they understand his progression, the way that he moves, how well they play may save their jobs.
That was our buzzer that you heard right there. So far, we've been good on the time up to this point. Let's go from Chicago to the West Coast, the Bay Area. The 49ers could use the 2021 regular season to develop Trey Lance after he played just 17 college games, but the early returns from OTAs have been strong in the eyes of those who have been watching him.
Being with him these last 2 weeks, he's been everything that we hoped and more. I think he's a very smart kid. He's a very humble kid. I think he's a very natural leader. I think the guys have gravitated to him, and it's been fun to throw a lot at him, to just absorb all that in and to still handle yourself the right way. To me, that is impressive.
He looks a little bit better than a rookie quarterback. You know, he's out there, he's slinging it. He made an awesome throw on a play action. You know, he found my rookie, Josh Peterson, on a rollout, which is like the last guy you'd throw it to on the play. And the fact that he found him in his first ever rollout was pretty cool. If you can pick up this offense as a rookie and be able to, you know, analyze it and throw it to the right guy, and at the same time, you know, overcome coaching to make a play, it's impressive.
All right, RC, you're first up here. Do you think that Lance will be able to earn the starting job this summer?
The 49ers better hope so. If I'm a 49ers fan, if I'm John Lynch, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I hope that I am trying to find reasons to keep Trey Lance off the field, and I absolutely cannot. You heard what George Kittle said, getting to the last throw in a possession, but even being able to extend the play, having this extra little oomph in his arm, those are the things you don't get in Jimmy Garoppolo. So if you want the San Francisco 49ers to reach their ceilings, that means that Trey Lance is your quarterback because his ceiling is higher than Jimmy G, so you better hope that he's your guy.
I agree, Ryan, and I'd say that applies to all of these teams. Like, the ideal situation is all of these first-round quarterbacks win the job and start right away because they were drafted with the hope that their ceiling is higher. I think Trey is in the best situation of any quarterback in the any rookie quarterback in the NFL. I think Kyle Shanahan has an incredibly QB-friendly offense. It's a very good offensive line, and I think if he is able to start week one, this team is competitive from the jump.
I'll tell you what, when I hear Kyle Shanahan say he's everything we thought he would be and more for a guy that they traded up to 3 to get, that says a lot to me. I mean, that says this guy is definitely tracking to be the starter week one. And by the way, Kyle, like, he wants to move on from Jimmy G. He loves Jimmy G the person, but he wants to move on from him. And if he starts installing an offense that is better suited for Trey Lance, which I think Kyle wants to do, I mean, the edge is immediately going in Lance's way.
Well, we'll wrap it up with the spot where there is little debate surrounding who's going to be the starter. It's going to be Zach Wilson in New York. The team is poised to hand the reins over to the number 2 overall pick, taken just ahead of Trey Lance. Now, he has an insatiable attitude to learn, but Wilson is already starting to understand it's going to be a process.
I really just have a strong passion for this game, and, you know, I don't want to let my teammates down, so I'm just going to make sure I can do everything in my control to make sure I'm prepared. You know, there's frustrating things that happen in practice, maybe because you were slow on one read to the next or whatever it is, but you got to understand that it's going to be a process.
He's relentless in terms of his want for knowledge and in terms of studying. You know, it is interesting when he's watching tape, the things that he's able to pick up and recognize, and it's almost like, hey, let's scale back, let's keep on learning. But he's got a lot of horsepower in his mind, and he's not afraid to use all of it.
RC, one more time, what are your expectations for Wilson in his rookie season?
You know, first of all, I think it's awesome that he's annoyingly curious, because that's what you want from your young quarterback. I think you're going to see some of those highs. You're going to see some of those great plays. We know he'll be protected by two young studs on the left side of that offensive line, and playing in LaFleur's offense, he'll have some of those Kyle Shanahan things, but he's gonna struggle. So you're gonna have to more so watch his progress, watch his potential, and make sure you keep his head up with his confidence, because you will be in New York. You won't have the best roster every week like you had last year. Yeah. So it's gonna be some of those bumps and bruises you had early on in BYU where you didn't necessarily have number two overall pick type film.
Yeah, Wilson's ability to overcome adversity is going to be the most important, I think, factor in his rookie season. And that's not about his talents. That's about where he landed and where he's coming from, which is crazy given the level of competition Lance faced. But Wilson at BYU had a very comfortable, shall we say, situation, and now he's landing in a lot of discomfort in New York, a team that's in transition. I'm using gentle terms. So there are going to be bumps, as Ryan said.
It's interesting because when we talk about Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Mac Jones, we can immediately point to someone, a veteran quarterback, that really will challenge them and potentially handle the duties in week one if needed be. This with Zach Wilson is going to be much more difficult. And I mean, it's not like Trevor Lawrence. Like, I personally don't have the same confidence in Zach Wilson as perhaps Trevor Lawrence. So tough situation for Zach.
We'll see whether the Jets eventually address the backup quarterback spot with a more mentored senior quarterback that could be available right now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Now let's take a deeper dive into the storylines in the NFC East. In Dallas, it's all about the return of Dak Prescott, who's expected to be fully cleared for training camp after suffering a season-ending ankle injury last year. In Philly, it's the Jalen Hurts show, with the Eagles trading Carson Wentz to the Colts this offseason. All eyes will be on the Eagles quarterback in year two. For Washington, it's Fitzmagic time as Ryan Fitzpatrick looks to elevate the team's offense while starting for his ninth different team, which is an NFL record, by the way. And in New York, it's all about the progression of Daniel Jones as the Giants have surrounded the young quarterback with weapons both through the draft and free agency. Here's what Jones and Fitzpatrick had to say about their teams this week.
It's on all of us. It's on all 11 guys to do their job every play, to step out. You know, that's how we're gonna make big plays, is everyone doing their job. And it's not on any one person more than the other. It's about everyone executing together as a unit. And you know, that's how we're gonna create explosive plays, and be a productive offense.
There are certain things that maybe it is easier for me to switch teams than other guys, just because I've done it so many times. I've been through the process.
Last season, both the Giants and Washington ranked amongst the league's worst offenses. New York finished in the bottom three in points per game, yards per game, and efficiency. As for Washington, no team saw worse quarterback play, as they posted the league's lowest team total QBR. All right, Mina, which offense do you see making the bigger leap in the NFC East this season?
You know, Field, I think it's going to be Washington, or between Washington and New York, just because of where they're coming from in terms of the quarterback play they got last year, which, as you just saw, was near the bottom of the NFL by just about every metric. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to provide you with an immediate upgrade for that. I smiled when he talked about how his ability to go from team to team has given him a unique skill set, because he is the definition of a journeyman quarterback, but he also played at a really high level last year. Coupled with, I think, a pretty good group of skill players in Washington that upgraded, adding Curtis Samuel, drafting Dyami Brown. I believe Terry McLaurin is a true number one, and a running game that is already quite good with Antonio Gibson. And the thing about Washington is, just to speak a little bit more globally about this team, the offense doesn't need to be great because the defense is not just the best in the NFC East. Washington is a top three defense in the NFL. With that sort of defense, you just need an offense that's average. And I truly think Ryan Fitzpatrick can almost, it's almost a guarantee he's going to give you at least average quarterback play. So if we're looking at these teams and who's going to make the biggest leap, it's the football team for me.
For more on the top 10 defenses in the NFL, by the way, check out the Mina Kimes podcast featuring co-host Lenny. They did a great podcast on that, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Ryan, if not now, well, then when for the Giants and Daniel Jones? Because he is entering the all-important third year for a first-round quarterback.
No, it's now or never for Daniel Jones. This is the year where they have to see what he has. You draft Kadarius Toney in the first round out of Florida. Obviously, you spend the big money, over $70 million on Kenny Golladay. You bring in Kyle Rudolph. And so now, Daniel Jones, you have to show us who you are. You have a healthy Saquon who was injured last year. You have an opportunity to be a little better protected, and you have the weapons. This is when Dave Gettleman's pick has to show up. This is when Dave Gettleman has to show us that he was smarter than the rest of the world when he drafted Daniel Jones overall at number 6. And so I'm excited to see what this offense could be. And they can be a sleeper in this division. They can be a dark horse that challenges the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington football team. But it all depends on what happens at the quarterback position for New York.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ryan. And I also wonder, you know, these upgrades at skill player in New York, was that the right move, focusing on that instead of the offensive line, which was a group that a lot of people thought they would upgrade either in the draft or free agency? Kevin Zeitler walked. We know about Daniel Jones' issues with turnovers and sometimes handling pressure. Did they do enough to help him? I'm not so sure.
Mina, as you mentioned, turnovers have been a problem for Daniel Jones. He has 29 fumbles in his first two seasons. That's the second most through a player's first two seasons in NFL history, trailing only Tony Banks. As always, we wrap things up with one more thing, and we are back to good old Aaron Rodgers. If his future is cloudy in Green Bay, it might also be uncertain as the full-time host for Jeopardy. According to a Sports Business Journal report, a study found that fans give a slight edge to master contestant Ken Jennings to take over as full-time host. Mina, you should be the host. What's your reaction to this news?
I do love Ken Jennings, but I thought Aaron Rodgers did a great job as well. Look, I'm not trying to beef with Aaron Rodgers, unlike the Green Bay Packers. I'd like to stay on his good side. So I'm going to say Aaron should still be in the running.
Yeah, smart call by you there to stay on the good side of Aaron Rodgers and friend Miles Teller. NFL Live is done for the week. We're right back here on Monday. We'll see you then. Enjoy the weekend, everybody.